Yo, what up, man? It's your girl, V. Henny Man. You already know the vibes. Welcome to the Artistry, where we talk shit about music, entertainment, and the everyday struggles. And you know how we do, man. We always have a dope guest in the building. We have marketing professional, content producer, co-founder of the Rap Fest, and just the guy is just a dope soul overall. Make some noise for Rocco Rathan.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for having me.
I don't have the budget, so hold on. What's good, what's good?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, I'm blessed, you know, it's a, you can feel spring trying to creep in, you know?
Yeah, a little bit, it pops up and it leaves.
It's here and there, yeah, it's a little tease, you understand? But I want to say thank you for taking the time, being here. Welcome to my home, the Artistry, you know?
Thank you.
I know we've been working this out.
Yeah.
You know, but before we dive into anything, I love to do a toast where, you know, I'm just giving your flowers, you know.
Oh,
congratulations
you.
On everything you're just accomplishing. It's super inspirational. And,
thank
you know, you motivate a lot of people.
Thank you.
You know, so let's make this to you. Oh.
Shouts out to The Rock.
Yeah. Ooh, so we got Rocco in the building. Rocco got me right now with, like, I haven't had tequila. I go by V. Henny, you know? So, you know, but, yo, I was, you know, I was definitely, like, diving into certain things with you, and I was just like, you're a busy man. Like.
Yeah, I used to be more busy.
Okay.
But now, like, the business has subsided, and it's probably going to start to pick back up again soon. But, yeah, I like where it's at right now.
You like where it's at?
Yeah.
How was it with, you know, when you were at that point where it was just a little bit, I'm not going to say chaotic, but, you know, you have that moment where you're just, like, schedule booked and whatever. It's you know, like, sometimes you even forget your personal endeavor. So how was that, like?
I mean, at that time when I was at my busiest and I was doing a bunch of different things at once, yeah, it was busy and I didn't have much of a social, of a personal life, but I was doing what I loved.
Mm-hmm.
So I never, like, it wasn't a problem.
Okay.
It did become a problem once. I think it was 2015 or 2015, I believe.
Okay.
Where I was doing so much and I was up for, like, 3-4 days because I was working on projects, working over here, working over there. And they always say, whenever you're working at a whole bunch of different places at once, you're probably not getting paid much. Right? So, like I think about, like, the third or fourth day, I forget, I collapsed.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Because I was just, like, I was coming home, I was out, I was working all day, then going out to events afterwards, and then I would come home and work on other projects and then stay up. And then I did that for, like, 3-4 days, and yeah, my body just gave up.
It weighs a toll on you. Like, people don't realize, you know, it's a beautiful thing because it's something you love, right? But it's challenging. And I say this because I remember there were times when I was doing a tour, and I was, like, hitting, like, over 19 cities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think after, like, a week, I was already in a place where I lost my voice. I looked drained, and I was even getting sick because it was just like, people don't realize, like, you have to prepare yourself for this industry, for the game that you want, you know? Like,
you got to take care of yourself physically too, cuz like, when you're moving around like that, you're probably not eating healthy, and on top of the poor diet, like, going out to events, drinking and stuff like that, and then mixing that with the lack of sleep, it's a bad combo.
So let's go somewhat to the beginning where you originally went to school for marketing and you started off with traditional marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So can you break that down a little bit for those who are not familiar with, like, just the term of traditional marketing?
Traditional marketing is basically everything before everything got digital.
Okay.
Right? So, like, you're talking about, like, when you see, like, billboards, when you see marketing on TV, when you go to a mall or something and you see, like, the the signs, like promoting things, yeah. like all the different forms of marketing before things became fully digital. I'm kind of marking my age here, but I'm a young old man.
Nah, I hear that. Listen.
I'm sorry, but like I went to school for marketing right as the digital thing started to
boom.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Because digital marketing is fairly new. It's been, what, like 10 years already?
Digital marketing, maybe I'd give it more like close to 15.
Okay.
And like that includes around the time that I went to college.
Okay.
It was just that the schools were not like, they weren't teaching things like that. Like back then you didn't know, like, you didn't know that there could be a job for digital marketing.
Gotcha.
Like back then, doing anything involving social media was just kind of like, oh, this is for fun.
Okay.
Like you ever see those kids that talk about how they learned HTML from MySpace?
Yeah.
But now like people get paid to do that and they didn't know that that was a skill that they were learning. You know what I mean?
Shout out to MySpace for that. You know, yeah. Like, no, but it's true. Like you weren't, like a lot of people wasn't prepared for what's ahead, you know, mm-hmm. like we could talk about the futuristic stuff and then be like, oh, you know, whatever, but not realizing, you know, it's like NFTs and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Like a lot of people is just like, okay, cool, but they're still not yet prepared for it, you know, mm-hmm. until it becomes bigger than what it is. If it, you know, everybody's theory on it is different, but I want to know was just like, how was the transition from that? Because again, you wasn't prepared for digital marketing. So how was that, like, you know?
Like I said, well, I didn't say that, we were talking before,
mm-hmm.
but like I always knew that I wanted to work in music.
Okay.
Right? And I made a decision that I'm not going to go to school for the music business.
Okay.
I'm actually going to go to school, like a business school, and learn marketing, like almost like a just in case. Right? Mm-hmm. I have something to fall back on.
Yeah.
Because I came in, I don't know nobody. I don't have no friends or nobody in the business from where I'm from or anything like that.
Okay.
So that was just kind of like, you know, just if this music, I could curse?
No, you can't fucking curse. No, go ahead.
No, I was like, if this music shit don't work, mm-hmm. like at least I got this degree and I could go get a job. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And when I started working in the music business, I was working with, you heard the singer Celina Johnson?
I'm not familiar with her, but I remember like on an interview you mentioned she's from Chicago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she's from Chicago.
Okay.
She sang the hook on Kanye's All Falls Down.
Okay.
She sang the hook on Cam's Down and Out.
Okay.
Well, the intro at least. And then I was her sister, mm-hmm. who's also her manager, was an adjunct professor at my school.
Okay.
And I saw music business management as like an elective.
Mm.
So I was just like, oh, this is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, honestly, I had already given up on the music dreams. I had interned at like Interscope.
Okay.
And like did street team stuff, which I don't think is around anymore.
Yeah, I don't think that's around.
And like, so then I quit. I was partying in college. I was doing different things. I was living the college life.
Yeah.
And then, like, I just gave up on the whole music thing altogether. And then I saw that elective.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, I'll just take this. This is an easy A. And then that led to me getting an internship with them. Because that was around the time I was graduating.
Okay.
And then I took the internship. And then I got a job with them. And then that was me. That was pulling me back in.
You know
what I mean? And I'm here now. That was the start.
That was the call-in.
Yeah, and, like, the marketing back then, that was me, like, straight up, experience.
Okay.
Like, on-the-job experience, just learning everything. And I was using a lot of social media back then.
Okay.
Like, we were, like, using Facebook, Instagram had just started. And we were doing these things, and I was still figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there wasn't no Facebook or Instagram ads. There was no none of that. It was just trying to figure out different tactics to get her single out there. You know
gotcha.
What I mean? And then at the same time, I'm like going with them to shows and helping coordinate that. So
okay.
It wasn't like the digital stuff was still, it was there, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't as big as what it is now.
Exactly.
You know, knowing the fact that you're mentioning that, right? You had to figure out certain tactics.
Mm-hmm.
What's, like, I want, like, knowing the fact that you are responsible for fostering and discovering, you know, like, the careers of many.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be very challenging. So I want to know, like, can you I guess give me a lesson that was very challenging for you, yet you executed proudly.
At that time or just in general?
I would say in general right now.
There are, but then I know there are. Like we were talking before about like
the wins.
The wins. Mm-hmm. You don't really celebrate them.
Yeah.
But I guess the thing that I'm most proud of, and it's a shame that like it's not really where it's supposed to be after I left, but was starting the Rap Fest.
Okay.
Because by that time I was already blogging for Influx We Trust and DJ Enough.
Okay.
I had already had like another blog before with my homie from back in college, and we were doing things.
Okay.
But this time I was doing it on a different level. And I just remember coming up with the idea for the concept.
Okay.
And then I remember being in my room. This was, I had to like, because after college, you know, in the music business, you don't make no money.
Yeah.
So at
know.
This point, like, I had moved back in with my mom, and I remember being in my room.
Okay.
And just creating the website from scratch. Everything about it, right? And then from there, I built the website, and then I went and got the staff, all the people, the other bloggers that I knew and stuff. And then we started filming content and then, you know, leveraging my relationships to get our content onto BET Jams and Revolt and all these other places. Mm-hmm. And just seeing, like, okay, like, I just, like, built this shit, like, at my crib. And put all the pieces together, and then we film in the content, and then using my relationships, I'm able to help get it to the masses like that. And I was like, okay, yeah. That's that moment like where it's like, oh, I belong here.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. And the reason why I'm asking that, right, because, again, like, going back to the artist, how you was just saying, like, you was figuring out tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a proud moment. Mm-hmm. Because those little tactics, regardless of what, it was still somewhat successful,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then, like looking at your career now, like you said, this is a proud moment where you was just in your room,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and boom, you know, this was created. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, the fact that, you know, off air, when we was talking, how you mentioned, like, you're hard on yourself, you mm-hmm. know? And you know, you always do your best.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the Book of Four Agreements,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the agreements, always do your best. You know, and you're, since you're so hard on yourself, I like to hear those who, like, I love to hear from my peers, like, how do they have those moments where they sit down and just literally celebrate their wins? Because I'm learning it, and at the time, it was challenging.
Because
you have these expectations, and, you know, you just, you know, you want more.
It's easier. I'll tell you this, it's easier to celebrate your wins when your pockets ain't hurting like they used to.
Okay.
Because when your pockets are hurting, it's very difficult to celebrate your wins.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But once your pockets ain't hurting no more, it's a lot easier.
Okay.
But even still, you also gotta, like, what we were talking about before when I was saying, like, about being present
mm-hmm.
in the moment. And how, like I was saying, how I realized, like maybe a year or two ago, how, like, for example, when I was working at the Source magazine,
mm-hmm.
I was, like, sitting at the office every other day, like, just shooting the shit with my staff, with my coworkers, and just talking about music, talking about entertainment, talking about everything, just, like, and growing up as someone who read the Source.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm interviewing these celebrities, these athletes, and I'm going here and I'm going there and I'm backstage here and I'm doing all this. But I wasn't really, like, enjoying everything because I was so worried about, like, I need to, like, accomplish this and I need to accomplish that. And I'm still not here yet and I'm still not there yet. And then now I look back on those moments and I'm like, those are actually, like, some of the best moments of my life.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? But I wasn't present to be able to really enjoy it. You get what I'm saying?
No, I got you. So when did it start? Again, I know, you know, not, you're in a place now that you know, you can enjoy it. But when did that moment hit you when you were just like, my career is actually taking off?
I guess those beginning moments, like, bro, when I started blogging for Funk Flex,
mm-hmm.
as someone who's from New York,
mm-hmm.
growing up listening to Hot 97, and then, like, I remember, like, first time stepping into the radio station, and I'd been there before,
okay,
but with artists. But now I'm there as like an employee, and I'm like, wow, yo, I'm in here, I'm here. Cause you remember, like, yo, I'm from a small town. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like,
where you from again?
I'm from Spring Valley, New York.
Oh wow. Okay. Yep. Okay.
So like, it was all like a big thing to me. Mm-hmm. But when I was like in Hot 97, I'm working for Flex. I'm working for Enough, and then like I'm on these email threads with Flex, Enough, Angie, like, you know, different people, like, and I was just like, oh shit, like, I'm here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
that was the first moment, like, okay, where I was just kind of like, my success, mm-hmm, is not tied to an artist.
Gotcha. So when you say tied to an artist, were you managing an art, like, artist? Like, what? Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you still doing that? Like
managing artists?
Yeah.
No.
No? When did you stop going that route?
I stopped going that route.
And why? I'm curious. I want to know why.
Just managing artists, working with artists. I stopped working with artists probably around 2017.
Okay.
But I stopped doing it because I felt like at least me working on whatever I'm working on, mm-hmm, whether it's a project, whether it's a company, whether it's a job, whatever it is, I can control that more. Meaning, okay, like, I can control my work ethic.
Okay.
I can control how far I go.
Okay.
Whereas sometimes when you work with an artist, and, you know, people are human, you know, mm-hmm, things happen. It's just like, sometimes, like, you know, when you hitch your wagon to someone else, maybe that person might have a different vision than you.
Yeah.
Maybe that person grows apart from you, or maybe that person just doesn't. Like, we've seen these things happen all the time with people, you know, yeah, what I mean? There's no need to go into detail, but it's just kind of like, it is what it is. Like, it's just, it was a more secure thing for me.
Gotcha.
And then plus me seeing, the most important thing was me seeing other people that I know,
mm-hmm,
like, invest so much time and money into artists, and the shit just doesn't work for one reason or another.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, those people kind of end up, like, you know, bitter and resentful, mm-hmm, and all that stuff. And it's just kind of like, I never wanted to be that person. I never, gotcha, I looked at them and I was just like, I never want to end up like that.
So you are in your, right now in your career with everything you're doing, because again, your roster is incredible. Mm-hmm. It's super, like, for me, it's motivational. You know, like, mm-hmm, seeing your resume was just like, yo, this is, mm-hmm, dope. You know, like, mm-hmm, you're not at that place anymore where people are trying to negotiate, because I know you got the name already, you know, like, mm-hmm, people know who you are, you already have the respect, you know. What are maybe some challenges now that you're facing where it's like you're trying to overcome?
With clients?
Yeah, with clients right now within your company.
I try to keep stuff like that at a minimum.
Okay.
In terms of, like, if I see someone's going to be problematic.
Okay.
Like, they don't have their shit together, or, like, I'll refund them before, like, the work even starts.
Gotcha.
Because I just, like, I'm not even.
You don't want the issues.
I just don't want the problems, because, like, people, when you're dealing with, like, a client or a team that, mm-hmm, doesn't have their shit together,
mm-hmm,
there's a reason for that, right? And then when the work starts, they have to do their part too.
Okay.
Right? For the shit to work. And if they're not doing their part and it doesn't work, guess what they're going to do? They're going to blame you.
Yeah.
They're not going to, like, look at themselves. So I just don't even, like, entertain that. Like, I really don't have much issues with clients, because 9 times out of 10, I was recommended to them by someone that they respect. Or, you know what I mean? Or they seen my resume and they seen, so they know I'm legit. You get, okay, what I'm saying? So nowadays, I really don't, not saying it doesn't happen, but when it does happen, I cut it off right there.
Okay. And I know you're obviously, you're a content creator, producer. Mm-hmm. So more or less, break that down, because I know certain things you do work on. Mm-hmm. I've seen it, but break it down for others who, you know, have no idea yet, as of right now.
As far as that's concerned, that was more so, like, years ago. I still do that now.
Okay.
But, like, that was more so years ago, like, when we were creating the ciphers for the Rap Fest, like,
okay,
doing content for that.
Okay.
Like, with the freestyles and things like that, doing mini documentaries for YouTube.
Okay.
Like, I would, like, help, you know, basically, like, put the ideas together, do the interviews, and just basically executive produce a lot of the stuff that we were doing back then.
So as of right now, what are you're catering to?
In terms of content?
Yeah, in terms of like just you, Rocco.
Oh, right now I'm trying to grow my business for like my marketing company.
Okay.
But I'm also like working on a project. This is a content project, a big content project that I've been working on and planning for like the better part of the last like 6-7 months.
Okay.
I actually go in for filming this week.
Okay.
So yeah, so that's pretty much what I've been working on. But as far outside of that, it's just pretty much my client work. Yeah.
Knowing that you told me that you were sort of shy with the cameras, and now you're like shooting and everything. So how does that feel, knowing that you're stepping out of your comfort zone?
Like, I think it was more so working with my partner, Jens, because he, like, you know, he was on doing his content, and he said he was explaining how I helped him grow his business, and how when he met me, like, I basically helped him out a lot. So from seeing him, and then he just had no fear. Like, he loves the camera, so he, like, basically, like, used content to grow his business and his brand, and he always used to push me to, like, you know, yo, you need to, like, start doing content. You need to, and I was just like, oh, no, no, no. But then I realized at one point, like, I was doing well, but I kind of was, like, plateaued. Like, I wasn't going up anymore. I was just kind of like this.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I got to make a change. And then that's when I started, like, you know, not being afraid to, like, step in front of the camera. And it was also because, like, I see other people who are behind the scenes people stepping in front of the camera, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes I might agree with some of the things that they say. Sometimes I might disagree. And then I know that I have a lot of experience and I have something to say as well. You know what I mean? So at that point, it didn't bother me anymore.
It's dope that you're at a place of, you know, you're somewhat confident within yourself when it comes to that stepping. And also knowing the fact that you knew you were at a place where you're plateau and you wanted to make those changes, because I think that can be a challenging moment, you know? Like, were you at that place when you reached that plateau, was your thought frame, was it more like...
It was more like, what's next?
Yeah.
That was what it was. It was just kind of
Did you feel
like,
stuck, though? Like, how can I do it? Like, what? Like,
I didn't feel stuck. I was just like, I have to do something. Like, it wasn't like... The money's good, everything is good, but it's just kind of like the days start to feel the same. Like I don't, like, remember I was saying, like, I always had something to look forward to? Like, I didn't have anything to look forward to anymore.
Okay.
Right? And, like, doing that was something that really, like, helped me, you know, have things to aspire to.
Are you the type to have, like, the vision boards or, like, read books for motivational purposes and or audios, like, are you?
Not reading, definitely audiobooks.
Okay.
I used to be very big on reading books back in the day, but, like, audiobooks are better for me now.
Okay.
But all, like, the self-help stuff, that stuff started maybe, like, a year ago.
Okay.
A year and a half ago. Definitely, like, around the time of the lockdown.
Okay.
And, like, it was just more so me just taking time, because at that time we had, like, a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
Right? And I took time to, like, really look inward and just figure out, like, okay, what are the things about me that I need to work on? Right?
Okay.
Like, I was like, yo, I don't like the way I feel, like, physically. Like, you know, I don't like this about the way I look. Like, and I was like, yo, I'm going to the gym. Joining the gym. I'm getting a gym membership, doing meal prep, working on that. Then when that improved, wanted to fix the mental, like, just, like, you know,
just a lot of self-development.
Yeah, like, it wasn't a lot. It didn't need to be a lot, but it was just, like, certain things about, like, the way, when we were talking about the way you talk to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, things like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were talking about the four agreements earlier.
Yes.
And these are things that I use to just really, like, get myself right, you know what I mean?
During the pandemic, around that time frame, was it challenging like that? Because I feel like for a lot of people, it was either it made them or broke them, you know? So, like, for you, I know you did, you worked on, you know, you did somewhat some self-development, but was it challenging knowing the fact that a lot of things were on pause in a sense?
It wasn't challenging. Actually, in terms of, like, my business, it was great for me.
Okay.
Because all, like, because all the labels that I'm a vendor at,
mm-hmm.
that's all they could do at that time was digital.
Yeah.
So they were sending me a lot of work. You know okay. what I mean? So it was like, it sucks to say, but for like people in my line of work, it was great.
Okay.
Right? And plus, I work from home. And I worked from home, like after I left my job at Sony, I started my own company and I worked from home.
Okay.
So when the lockdown happened, like I think the lockdown happened a year, like a little over a year after I left Sony.
Okay.
So it's like by that point, I'd already been working from home.
Gotcha.
So it wasn't anything like I needed to adjust to or anything okay. like that. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Can you explain a little bit on the whole being a vendor for labels to have a better understanding for people?
Oh, so when you're a vendor at a label, mm-hmm. you're pretty much just like an independent contractor.
Okay.
Right? So, for example, you know, they have all your business information
mm-hmm.
at the company. And for those that don't know, there's only three major labels.
Okay.
Everything else, it's Sony, Warner, Universal.
Okay.
Everything else you hear from like Atlantic, Def Jam, Interscope, they fall under one of those three.
Gotcha.
Right? So when they have a certain project that they want me to work on,
mm-hmm.
you know, I get the email, okay, here's the project, here are the goals. And then send us the invoice, mm-hmm. and then that's that.
And you provide the service and things like that,
you provide the service, they pay you for it, and, you know, you're not like I'm not an employee
mm-hmm.
at Warner Music Group.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the people who know me over there and know my work, when mm-hmm. they need me to do something, whatever it is, they just let me know what it is, and then send the invoice.
Do you also work with independent like independent artists, should I say?
Absolutely. Like, that's actually, like...
That's, like, one of your main sources and stuff like that?
It's not just one of my main sources, because it's a lot.
Because
mm-hmm. a lot of my clients, like, a lot of people get it confused. Like, there's some clients, like, I do campaigns for advertising.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people come to me for other things that are just, like, one-offs. Like, hey, can you do this? Can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But a cornerstone of me marketing and promoting myself
mm-hmm.
is showing the success that independent artists have with me. So, like, there's a lot of artists that we've been working with, like, within a few months, they have deals on the table and they sign a deal. So this is the stuff that I show. Like, I don't even really, like, talk about, like, the major label artists that I work with. You
okay.
know what I mean? I mainly highlight, like, the indie successes that I have, like,
okay.
from working. 'Cause to me, that shows the true how good you are as a marketing person. Gotcha. When you can take someone from the ground up
mm-hmm.
who doesn't have much going on and help them build a fan base to the point where major labels come calling.
Okay.
Whereas, because the truth is, if you're doing marketing for someone who already has an audience or already like is a star,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of things that are easier for you. Like, it's easier to market that. You
okay.
know what I mean?
Okay.
And
but what about artists who like is the opposite of that, and but they want it, they're hungry. However, like, you know, that they're like, and they're short on, like, not they're short, but they have somewhat of a low budget. Like, how can an artist approach you?
I mean,
to be honest,
some of the services that I do have, like, some of them, not all, no. some of them, like, I try to make it, like,
gotcha,
like packages and scales where it's just like I try to, like, fit everybody's budget.
Okay,
some of the stuff I can't do that with,
okay,
right?
Okay.
But where I'm able to do that.
Okay.
So I do get a lot of people who, come with smaller budgets and we still figure something out.
Gotcha.
So that's pretty common.
Okay.
And I'm like, and some of the artists who know me,
mm-hmm.
who watch this, like, I'm pretty cool. Like, if you're like someone who's, you got talent and I see that you're like really working.
Mm-hmm.
And I see, like, you know what I mean? I see the work ethic. I see what you're putting together. I see all of it. And the budget may not be there. Like, I'll help you however I can. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I'm, you know.
Nah, and that's dope. And the reason why I'm asking that, right, like, you have, and I'm sure you've seen this in the, like, probably in the past or even now. Like, you have artists, like, they don't realize how important marketing is within their career. And I say this because I'm constantly, like, me, like, since I work with a lot of artists, and I'm like, I tell them, like, it's more than just recording and putting music out there, you know? And like, they look, not all, and I'm not saying everyone, but there's certain artists where they just feel like, oh, I'm working. I just dropped the, you know, I just dropped the song and I just left the studio, I'm working.
Yeah, like, I think it's just, like, because social media makes everything so accessible, mm-hmm. and then they see these stories sometimes of, like, artists going viral, mm-hmm. like, with this viral clip or this viral hit, and then they get on like that, which does happen, mm-hmm. but the likelihood of that happening is very rare, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of times artists think, like, okay, I'm just going to make this song or put this video out, and it's lit after that, like, and then, like, maybe, like, a few weeks later when that shit is still sitting at, like, a couple hundred views, mm-hmm. and it's just like, you know, they're trying to figure out what to do next, and they start spamming everybody their link, and it's just like, that's not working. Like, that's not what constitutes working. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you actually have to, like, put some type of plan together. You know what I mean? And, like, does, if you're trying to be in music and you're trying to, like, sell your music or do anything, you're gonna have to spend money at some point.
Yeah.
Some people might have to spend more money than others, but mm-hmm. you're gonna have to spend. I mean, this is a business. They call it the music business for a reason. And in any business that you're trying to start, you're gonna have some type of overhead. You're gonna have money that you're gonna have to spend. You know what I mean?
No, that's a fact. And I'm glad that you said that because, again, you know, you have those. And, you know, the most I always tell people is just, like, just do your research. You understand? Again, people go to you because of word of mouth. That's research. Mm-hmm. You know, I was referred to you by Vanessa.
Like, shout out to her.
Yeah, yeah. So she been told me about you, you know? And it's mm-hmm. like, again, it's word of mouth. It's research, you know? Like,
a lot of people don't want to do that research. And doing the research with anything will save you thousands of dollars. Because you might have the money, but don't want to do research. So you spend money with the first person you find. And Let's be 100% honest. There's a lot of people on the internet that are just straight up scammers.
I know.
Right? And I hear all these horror stories from artists, and it's just like, I feel bad for them, but at the same time, I tell them, like, yo, you have to do your research on who you're spending your money with.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's a fact. No, it is. Like, you know, when you, and that's why I tell them, I hear those stories with either from even, like, promoters or, like, you know, just the mixtape eras, you know? Like, and it's like, bro, like, at the end of the day, I can't feel so bad for you. You have yourself to blame. You can't blame whoever it is. It's you have yourself to blame because at the end of the day, you're not taking the time to know what you're getting into. And that's something that you should do if this is the career path you choose, you chose.
And like, when you think about, like, just regular life, mm-hmm. yo, you have to hire an accountant, or you have to hire someone to fix something in your house, or, you know what I mean? And not everybody's good. Not everybody's good at their job. And you have to, like, read reviews. Learn how to read reviews that you see online. Mm-hmm. Like, learn how to do research on the people you hire to do things. That's something you just have to do in life, period.
Yeah.
So the same thing applies to the music business.
You know, going back to, I believe, I don't know if I mentioned it here, but I know in off air we were talking about, one thing that stood out for me with you was that you had mentioned how when you realized that you can get into music without being a musician, mm-hmm. you know, I thought that was powerful. Mm-hmm. Because, again, we live in a narcissistic era, I feel like. You mm-hmm. know, everybody wants to be the star, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You know, having that mindset, I'm curious on knowing now, like, give me that one track that put you in that feeling of being like, because of this song, I want to get in the music industry. Album. Was it an album or artist? Like, what was it?
I can't say it was one song.
Okay.
But maybe, like, an era.
Okay, what era was that then?
That was like the early 2000s.
Okay.
That was when I was a little kid, and like I remember my mom had got me a computer.
Okay.
And had gotten me like this is when cable modems had just came out. Now everybody has high speed internet.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But when I was a little kid, it was dial up, right?
Remember that?
And like when she got me like the cable modem, mm-hmm. and it was high speed internet.
Okay.
Boy, I was on every hip hop website. And there's a lot of websites that are still around to this day that started back then. Like I remember reading Hip Hop DX back then. I was reading the reviews back then. I used to be on this website called Hip Hop Game.
Okay.
All hip hop was around back then. And I was basically just a consumer. Like, okay. I was learning about like how the music business works. I was reading all the magazines and then listening to all the albums that were coming out. Like, you know, I was a kid, mm-hmm. so, you know, I didn't have money to go buy albums. You know, I'm not going to bother my mom. She already, like, got me this computer. Like, I'm not going to, you know what I mean? So, like, I was downloading.
Gotcha.
I was doing a lot of downloading.
What was that app that, not the app.
LimeWire?
Yeah.
So, I was downloading a lot of, I mean, what's the statute of limitation? You can't come get me now. It's too late. Right? And then at that time, like, I was just one of those dudes. Like, you see how, like, a track will drop today, mm-hmm. and then you hear it everywhere?
Yeah.
It wasn't like that back then. A track would drop on the internet, and then it would take, like, a few months for, like, radio and everything to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always up on everything before everybody else.
Gotcha.
So I would, like, burn mix CDs and, like, you know, pass them out at school and stuff like that. And I just remember, like, listening to albums. And when I finally got the chance to buy CDs,
mm-hmm.
I used to buy the CDs and read the liner notes, see who produced this, see who worked on that, who wrote on this.
Okay.
And I remember, like, just my favorite albums back then were The Blueprint. I used to listen to a lot of Nas. Nas is my favorite rapper. I used to listen to Stillmatic.
Is he still your favorite rapper?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I should be getting mad with his production.
His production is like hit or miss. I'm not gonna lie
to
you. But when he's on, he's on. Okay.
Right? No, he got the bars. We already know he got the bars. But it's just the production be getting me sometimes.
But like even that Stillmatic, Godson, then you know 50 came out.
Mm-hmm,
To me, that was peak Eminem era.
Yes.
I don't really listen to that much Eminem anymore.
Okay.
Like, just, I was listening to everything back then. I was listening to mainstream shit. I was listening to underground, like, I'm talking about, like, backpack shit, like fucking Immortal Technique and fucking Poison Pen and, like, C-Ray's Walls. Like, I was listening to everything that was hip-hop related.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was listening to on the internet.
Gotcha.
And I just became someone who, to the point where I started finding out who the behind-the-scenes people were and this, that, or... And I was just kind of like, yo, I want to do this. This is what I want to do.
Dope. And then, you went to school, but you said, again, that you got, not discouraged, but you just kind of was just like, eh, you know, because of... You was living the college life.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So that, you know, so like looking at that, you know, to where you're at now, you know, again, that's why I'm like, congratulations, you know, you deserve your flowers because there's a lot that you overcame and it's dope. Looking at everything, you know, as a human being, I know when in doubt, like what is it that you do like to keep yourself motivated?
When in doubt, like lately, whenever I would like doubt something.
Mm-hmm.
I would just think about all the things that I overcame.
Okay.
You know, like the things that like, cause to me, even some of like my friends from back home,
mm-hmm.
like they'll tell me like, you know, this is crazy that you were able to like get this far because where we from, like there's no like, I mean, we're like Spring Valley is like what, 30 minutes outside of Manhattan. And we are like, It's a small town vibe. You get what I'm saying? So it's like not knowing anybody in the business. Normally, like, you have to know someone to even get a foot in the door.
Yes.
And where I was, like, there's some, like, execs. I find out now there's some execs that live in the county. but not where I lived at. Where I lived at, like, believe it or not, for those that don't know, there's hoods everywhere. Mm-hmm. There's hoods outside of New York City, too.
No, that's
and where I'm from, like especially that specific neighborhood, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, ain't no, the record execs live in, like, two towns over and, like, million-dollar homes and stuff, you know what I mean? We live in, like, this, like run-down apartment complex, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a different, you know what I mean? Still, you're not going to meet nobody who can help you get your foot in the door. It just don't work like that. Maybe for some people now, because, mm-hmm. you know, people are finding out who lives in the area and they try to network and stuff. But for me, especially someone who was, like, shy at the time, mm-hmm. and I really didn't, like, talk to anybody who I didn't know, things like that. Matter of fact, it's crazy that I mentioned this.
Why?
My first job in high school, like, there was one person. This is the closest thing that I ever had to, like, even remotely knowing someone in the music business.
Okay.
Is Swiss Beats grandma, who's also DNY's mom.
Okay.
She lived in the area. And she used to come to the pharmacy that I worked at. And I was just one of the people who worked at the front. And I would always be at the front just, like, reading, like, XXL Mag, The Source, right? Mm-hmm. Right there at the desk. Like, I didn't even give a fuck.
Yeah.
And she noticed that I would always be reading that stuff. And then she, like, introduced herself to me. And she told me who her sons and who her grandson is and how she knows this person. And she used to flip the magazine with me and tell me stuff about this one and, oh, DMX and this is that. And I was always, like, so, like, oh, shit, this is that. And then I remember, like, this had to be, like, 2005, 2006 maybe, right? And then I remember in 2017 they had the Rough Riders reunion concert.
Yes.
Right? And I was backstage for that, right?
Okay.
And then for the people that was going backstage, there was a whole separate entrance, right? So I'm walking in backstage, and she sees me.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, oh, shit, you still look exactly the same. Like, and it was just kind of like one of those moments. But, yeah, I just remembered that.
Wow.
Because that was the one person that I kind of, like, she didn't work in the music business, but her family pretty much,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but yeah, like, coming from where I'm from, bro, like, understanding how far I've come.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I doubt myself, I know I went off on a tangent.
No, it's all good. Don't worry about that.
But, like, sometimes when I doubt myself, I just think back, like, yo, you've accomplished a lot with very little resources. So how far you are now, like, this is your journey. Like, you're on the right path. You're on the right journey. And just trust the process and always do your best. And let the chips fall where they may. Sometimes I feel like, over the years, there's been things that I really wanted, like things that I really wanted to happen. And I worked for it to happen. And then when it didn't happen, I was pissed off about it. But then in hindsight, I realized that was actually a blessing. Mm. You know what I mean? So I try to remember those things, too.
Okay.
You know, to keep me grounded in the sense of, like, don't doubt myself too much and don't be so invested in something to where when I don't get it, it bothers me.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. It's dope. I like, you know, that thought process. Lastly, I want to know, when was the last time you did something for the first time? Like,
damn. Recently? That's a very good question. I went to Turkey.
Oh, really? Recently. Dope. How was that experience?
It was a good experience. It was cool.
Okay.
The food took some getting used to for me.
Okay.
But other than that, it was a great experience. That was something like normally, I like when I travel to like the Caribbean, okay. South America, or I'll go to like Europe or like the places where everybody goes to in Europe, right?
So, but like Turkey was business or personal?
Personal.
Okay.
But like going there was just kind of like this is not a place that people from America just normally just decide to go to. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very different experience. Okay. And like, even like the language barrier, it was just kind of like, because I'm Haitian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I speak Creole, but like in my house growing up,
okay.
in the church that I went to, we spoke French.
Okay.
Right? So I had to learn French when I was a kid.
Mm.
And then I took French in high school for easy A, right?
Smart.
And then my working Spanish,
okay.
right? So it's just like, for the most part, I can go a lot of different places and be able to like get around.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But Turkey was the first place that is just kind of like, all right, like,
yeah.
nah, it's not none of these languages. Like, you just got to figure it out.
I get it, though. I mean, like, I know, like, for me being Latina, like, it wasn't so challenging, but it was when I went to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say certain things, and they understood. But mm-hmm. then it's just like, so you're Italian? And I was like,
It's because those languages are, like, very, they're Romance languages.
They are.
So it's Spanish, Italian, and French.
Mm-hmm.
And Portuguese.
Yes.
So it's like the words are very similar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like sometimes they're identical. So yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, but I can imagine like, you know, getting out there, getting around. So, but it's still a dope experience to be out there. I was told the food is I was told it's good. You said it's
I mean, for me it took some getting used to.
Okay.
But I remember like one of my friends who's Turkish.
Uh-huh.
She like cuz I was like putting all my food on the IG story.
Okay.
And I'm basically like, oh, let's try this. Let's see. And then she got fed up with my negative reviews. So she just like DM'd me a whole bunch of places to go check out. But, yeah.
Okay. So any of the places you checked out, were they a little valid? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, well, you know, again, going back to just everything you've accomplished, having you here, you know, thank you for, you know, having this sit down and
thank
and
you
speaking.
For giving me this platform, for real.
Not that, like, seriously, like, it's motivating, it's super dope, you know, and just people don't, what's dope about you is the fact of, like, compared to other people, is like you said, you were so limited on the resources, and yet, look at where you're at, you know, and that comes to show people, like, just put your mind to it, you know, once you have that vision, just go full throttle. Trust the process. That life is going to hit us. And I tell this to everybody. Life is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have money issues. You're going to have relationship issues. Whatever. You know, like, life is going to happen.
Life happens, man. And one of the things that I learned, especially recently,
mm-hmm.
it's that when life happens, you know, like, take it for what it is. And, you know, feel what you feel, like, mm-hmm. whatever it causes you to feel. Feel those feelings, but don't let that shit consume you. And then use everything as, like, a learning experience.
Yes.
Because as long as you, like, learn from whatever. Because anytime something bad happens to you in life, let's say someone does you dirty or whatever in business mm-hmm. or in a personal relationship or whatever, there's still some responsibility on you
mm-hmm.
because you put yourself in that position for that to happen to you. You get what I'm saying? And when you learn, that's why people are so quick to be like, oh, this person did this or this person did that. It's like, yeah, they did that and that's their karma, that's them. But if you look at yourself first mm-hmm. and you acknowledge like, okay, what did I do that put me in a position for this to happen? And once you learn that, you don't let that happen to you again. That's why, like, when we were talking about, like, clients that trying to get free work or whatever,
mm-hmm.
it's just like, now I'm at a point where it's just like, I don't even allow that to,
yeah,
I don't even have that issue no more because I don't allow for it. You get what I'm saying?
You're right.
Because I had to learn. I had to look within myself. It's like, why is this happening? You get what I'm saying?
No, I get it. I get
mm-hmm.
it. And it's true. But that's also comes within your, you know, like, your growth, you know, mm-hmm. you obviously you've put in the work within yourself to get to where you're at now, where it's the self-development, you know, and taking accountabilities for certain things, you know, it's a big thing. Not too many people know how to accept that or go that route, you know, and
until you take accountability for yourself,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, like, you're going to keep making the same mistakes yep. over and over again. And you're going to keep blaming other people And ultimately, you'll never really be happy.
It's true.
Like, true happiness is what, one of the things I learned is, like, it comes from within. Mm-hmm. Which people always say that, but people don't really get what that means. Mm-hmm. It comes from within, but first you have to look at your own bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know it sounds cliche. It does, but it's true. You're saying, you're speaking, you're dropping gems. It's true. Mm-hmm. Like, people don't realize that. Like, you know, and what you're saying is, yeah, it comes within, you know, like, happiness. And
there's a lot of people out there, and this is just from, like, my just travels. It's just, mm-hmm. going to different cities, meeting different people, being in different rooms with different celebrities and powerful people. There's a lot of people who have a lot of things that people want, right? Mm-hmm. The money or this type of car or this, that. And I'm not going to say these people, but a lot of people who have these things that mm-hmm. people, like, want, yeah. these people are not happy. You know what I mean? And a lot of times when you see people, I'm not going to say every time, but a lot of times when you see people buying a lot of, like, material things and doing this, it's because they're trying to fill some type of void. You know yeah. what I mean? And even me at one point, like, I started, like, going off the deep end at one point. Like, okay. just, like, on some, like, just when, like, I was plateauing. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't happy because I was just felt, like, restless mentally or something, right? And then, like, I started, like, buying things that I never cared about. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, never cared about certain things. And now, all of a sudden, I'm buying these things. Like, and then I had to catch myself, like, whoa, bro, this is not you.
Yeah, yeah. Right? What was it that you bought that had you, like, whoa?
Nah, it's just, like, I always wanted a nice car. Okay. So I got that. But, like, I just started, like, buying, like, designer clothes and shit like that.
Gotcha.
And then, like, anyone who knows me will tell you from when I was young, I never cared about clothes.
Gotcha.
Ever. Like, I like nice shit, mm-hmm. but, like, I'm not going to go out and buy, like, design. And then, like, I found myself, like, buying this shit. And, like, and I always said to myself, I don't care how much money I make. I'll never buy no shirt that costs this much. I'll never buy this shit. And then, like, I bought it. And then it just, like, it didn't. And then now I look at it and it's just, like, I don't even, like.
Yeah.
This is not really me. Mm-hmm. And I don't really care for this type of shit. Like, it didn't make me happy. It didn't, like, add any value to my life. So it's just kind of like, I was just like, you know what? I'm good off this. Like, I had my little phase for, like, a few months or whatever, mm-hmm. but I'm good off this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't. And that's what I mean by, like, you have to look inward to know who you are, to know. You get what I'm saying?
No, I do get it. I trust
me. And instead of buying shit like that, mm-hmm. I did the self-help shit to really, like, just, like, you know, just improve myself. And that's then that's true. Where the happiness comes from. You get me?
That's dope. That's good. When I say it's dope that you were able to recognize that. Mm-hmm. Because, again, it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. And I think experience.
I think it's social media also. And it's just, like, I learned a valuable lesson, like, in, like, don't, like, you know when they say social media is everybody's highlight tape?
Yeah.
They only put the good shit, right? But you don't know what people are going through when you see them posting all this fly shit.
Like, it's true.
And it's just like, it's just, yo, don't compare yourself to people on social media. Don't, like, just live life, man. Enjoy life. Be present. You know what I mean?
I had to learn that the hard way, you know. Looking at the fact, like, social media, like, you know, because, again, people only post, you know, not everyone, but, you know, majority post just the highlights, you know? So, when you come to a place, like, such as yourself, like, you know, like, the whole self-development, getting into yourself, working through certain traumas and, et cetera, you know, when you're facing that phase, you know, right there, face value, you know, it teaches you a lot, so things such as social media, eventually you start learning, like, it's not even real, in a sense, you know? Like,
it's real, but it's not.
That is the perception. Mm-hmm. That's what it is, you mm-hmm. know? And
that counts for something, especially in the field that we're both in. Mm-hmm. Like, perception is everything.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, there's people who are very talented, super talented, are great at what they do, but they haven't mastered the art of, like, promoting themselves mm-hmm. correctly, or like putting themselves out there in the correct way to get to grow their business. Mm. So then they, you know, so perception counts for a lot.
It does. It does. Again, just you have to learn not to personalize it, looking, you know, the outside looking in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, again, that was my lesson. You know, I had to learn not to personalize certain things and just be like, yo, you have your own process. You have your own growth you have to work in, you know, because being in this industry, you know, as you mentioned, at the beginning, it's a struggle. The money is not there like that, you know.
It's not even there like that. It's not there at all.
Yeah, you know, so it's, and it's like, if any business you're, and I always tell people, it doesn't matter what business you're doing, but you have to always invest that time. You always have to make the sacrifices. But being in this industry, you know, you have that whole, you're working for so many years and you get to a place where it's just like, damn, why I'm not where I should be, you know? So I had to learn for me. My lesson was like, I need to learn to trust the process. You know, realizing now I had to come to a place where it's just like, all right, you know what? This is my journey. No matter how complicated it gets, you know, like you, I had to put myself in a place where it's like, I need to make the changes. Instead of complaining or bitching about, you know, why me? Because I don't like that pettiness. But, you know, you have to sit down and really analyze what are the changes you have to make. And that's not easy. You know, yeah, so again,
it's just like, yo, when you're stuck somewhere and mm-hmm. you realize like, yo, things are not working out, look within yourself mm-hmm. so you can figure out, okay, what am I doing wrong? And what changes do I need to make?
Yes.
It's not about the external.
Yeah.
Like that does play a part, but it all starts with you.
No, that's a fact. That's definitely a fact. We could do a Joe Rogan one day and just go in, you know, but I want to just say though, honestly, like, again, like, thank you for taking the time, being here, mm-hmm. speaking with me. You know, I look forward to seeing your success, your growth and everything. And, likewise. You know, and where, for everybody who's watching, who's, you know, where can they find you? All that good stuff.
Everything online is Roundface Rocco.
Roundface Rocco.
On IG, Twitter, and my website is RoccoRathon.com.
And y'all already know the vibes, yo. Definitely, you will find all his information in the description box below. Thank you for liking, commenting, subscribing. You guys are super dope. And I'm out, motherfuckers. So y'all already know. Rock out with your cocks out. Jam out with your clam out. You dig?
the artistry.
Catch us on YouTube, Facebook, or outlets.
Follow us.